story that everybody that I knew was talking about. I was sending it to people. They were sending it to me. Thank goodness there wasn't a tragedy. But these three kids left unsupervised in the Pickering Casino parking lot. We're going to get to that and a lot of the legal implications to come. I want to give you a chance to go see Tedeschi Trucks. Their Deuces Will 24 tour with supporting act Margot Price comes to Budweiser Stage August 15th. So if you call me now, 416-870-6400, 416-870-6400, caller four we'll take, and you're going to have a great night down by the lake, Ontario, that is, at Budweiser Stage August 15th to go see Tedeschi Trucks. We'll give another pair of tickets away tomorrow, another pair on Friday, courtesy of our good friends at Live Nation. Tedeschi Trucks, August 15th, caller four, 416-870-6400. All right, this story happened Monday night, so it's fresh in a lot of people's minds. I drive up and down this road probably three times a week. The idea of going by around 7 o'clock at night, though it's starting to, you know, be brighter later, and seeing three kids playing on the road or nearby by the casino would have absolutely alarmed me. Here's the voice of Nicholas Gluckstein of Durham Regional Police Service about what he saw.
They begin their own internal investigation, and I can't speak to specifically what they're going to do or, you know, the results of what happened with the children specifically, but they begin their own internal investigation, and they'll determine what's the best course of action for those kids, whether it be just, you know, making sure that those kids are remaining safe with the parents or whatever it may be to make sure that those kids aren't put in that kind of situation again.
39-year-old mom had the 10 and 9-year-old. 41-year-old mom had the 2-year-old. One's from Aurora, one's from Markham. They both got identical charges. It's called leaving a child unattended under the Child, Youth, and Family Services Act. That from Durham Regional Police. And this case will open up a huge can of worms about parental responsibility. Like I said, we've all left our kids in the car, but this is a rather unique and frightening scenario and shows to me gross neglect. To the nth degree. Russell Alexander's lawyer and founder and partner at Russell Alexander Family Lawyers, and he joins us now. Russell, thanks for the time this morning.
Good morning, Greg. Good to be with you today.
It's quite a case. Like I said, sometimes there's a call if somebody goes into the grocery store too long or they're at a medical appointment. This is a rarity. I'm sure you've seen cases similar to it, but this one's really pronounced, isn't it?
This is shocking, I think, because of the 2-year-old in juxtaposition with the casino and the time of day. You know, kids 8 and 10 often play in the driveway or road hockey or in the park, but I think the fact scenario, this one is particularly bad.
I don't know if both moms are married. I think that matters. My first thought was if either of them are separated, Russell, this would be a massive issue in terms of custody. But if this is a nuclear family, mom at home or dad and mom at home, either one, there's probably not a chance that they lose custody. But it could be a custody issue if they're split parents, couldn't it?
Certainly. And it's going to be a long conversation if they're together at the dinner table and they ask, you know, how was your day today?
You think?
But, you know, if the parents are separated or not together, CES, we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in a moment. Child Protective Services would likely place the child in the care of the other parent, maybe just temporarily, but certainly it could result in the change of what we used to call custody. Now it's primary parenting time.
But nothing in the interim, and I think we'd know by now, we're only about 36 hours removed from the actual incident and the actual finding of these kids as to whether or not things are stable at home. What do the charges mean? What are the worst things that could transpire out of these charges if they're convicted?
Right. Well, I think to understand the process, the police would have contacted the Children's Aid Society. They would have put the child into a temporary care setting. It may have been back with the parents, and the parents would likely enter into a voluntary service agreement with the Children's Aid Society for perhaps a social worker to supervise or to conduct an investigation. With respect to the offenses, you know, they could be ordered to be restrained from contacting the children or having any access with the children or the facility or the home where the children are placed. And, you know, they could probably step it up a level if they're going to bring criminal code charges as well of unlawfully abandoning or exposing a child. under the age of 10 to a risk of its life or health, so, or endangered. So there could be even more serious charges as well. And you probably will likely not hear too much more about this, because if it's in family court and the Children's Aid Society is involved, you know, the children have a right to privacy too. So there may be a publication ban on some of the details.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to see their name, and you shouldn't, and you won't. Russell Alexander is joining us, a family lawyer. You can visit the website, RussellAlexander.com. I suppose as well, when you're handling a case like this, if this was about custody, or when the police and Children's Aid are looking into this, Russell, or you're looking for a pattern of behavior, aren't you, to some extent? Was this utterly a one-off, or have there been other cases of neglect before? That's something you as a lawyer would need to know. It's certainly something the cops and the investigators are going to try and flush out too, aren't they?
Well, if I was representing the parents and the CAS involved, the CAS, I'm talking about the Children's Aid Society, they would have the ability to get all the police complaints and reports. So likely, if there's a pattern of conduct, neighbors could have reported to kill children out at late at night or unsupervised. Teachers at school may have reported to the police their concerns, or to the CES. Family doctors have a duty to report when they see incidences of abuse. So what I would receive if I was representing the parents would be the Children's Aid file, and it would contain all these police reports, school reports, medical reports, everything that is available to the agency with respect to the history of the care. And that would also inform the agency and the court in terms of what level of supervision is required. Are the kids going to be immediately at risk if they return home tomorrow? If so, then maybe they would place those children with a different family member or in a temporary foster home.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, that's part of the fascinating part of the case, I think, to watch. And like you said, it might be, given the delays in our court system, which we both well know, this might be quite a while before it climbs back on our radar again. Russell, thanks so much for the time today. I appreciate it.
Have a good morning.
You bet I will. Russell Alexander is lawyer and founder and partner at Russell Alexander Family Lawyers.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.